This is Week in Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
In simple words, your own soldier's language, how did this happen?
Failure in leadership, sir, from the brigade commander on down. Lack of discipline. No training whatsoever. And no supervision. Supervisory omission was rampant. Those are my comments.
Major General Antonio Taguba, the author of the report on Iraqi prisoner abuse, in an exchange with Senator John Warner, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, during Tuesday's hearings. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And Dan, what more at the end of this week have we learned about the prisoner abuse scandal?
Well, we've learned that since that hearing, senators and representatives have been allowed to look at 1,600 pictures, many of which, I'm told, are grislier than the ones we have yet seen. That they were in a secure room in the Capitol, the one that they used to discuss nuclear secrets. They came out registering various degrees of shock and awe. But clearly, from the point of view of the Pentagon, it was probably better to release them and unload them all at one time than to have them just dribble out.
Let me just read the exact quote from Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, Republican of Colorado, who said simply, "I don't know how the hell these people got into our army."
Well, that's right.
Do you think the general public is going to ever see those pictures?
Well, apparently not. The Pentagon says that might violate the privacy of the prisoners. That's touching sensitivity. I suppose there's also the matter of evidence in coming trials. There are now four soldiers who've been charged. And I'm not sure I even want to read to you now the descriptions of some of these pictures that were given by the members of Congress.
Mm-hmm. It's also been pointed out that releasing the pictures could violate the Geneva Conventions. Where pictures are not supposed to be shown.
Yes, very, very belatedly discovered Geneva Conventions.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld unexpectedly paid a visit to the Abu Ghraib prison in Baghdad this week. What's your reading of why he made the visit, and what do you think he accomplished there?
Well, I don't know whether it was during his visit that they decided that they were going to issue new rules for interrogation. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez has now issued orders that a lot of the more coercive methods of interrogation will not any longer be used. That may have happened while he was there. Also, I think that what he accomplished for himself was he renamed the Abu Ghraib place as Camp Redemption, the name of it is now. He identifies himself with the good guy soldiers against the bad guy bad apples. And what he may have accomplished is to reduce some of the pressure for his resignation that was rampant about a week ago. Looks a little more likely than it did a week ago that he may yet hold on to his job.
Let me get you to assess the situation again on the ground in Iraq, where negotiations for a transfer of sovereignty are proceeding. What can you make of those negotiations this
week? Well, Brahimi, the UN Algerian UN delegate, continues to try to get something put together that will be called an interim government. Meanwhile, the foreign ministers of the G8 industrial powers have been meeting down in Boca Raton. And there's been a great deal of pressure, especially from France, Germany, and Italy, to make it a real transfer of power on June the 30th, meaning that the interim government would have the right also to tell American troops to go home. What is interesting is that Secretary of State Powell says that, in fact, he would be in favor of giving them that permission. It seems to me inconceivable that if there is still a lot of fighting going on June 30th, that the Americans say, okay, it's your government now, you would like us to stay or leave. I just don't see it happening that way.
Of course, we have to note this week an American, Nick Berg, 26 years old, I believe, from Westchester, Pennsylvania, was beheaded on camera. Those images appeared on a website. His killer said that they were avenging the treatment of Iraqi detainees.
Yeah.
CIA says they believe the man responsible for his killing is Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Right.
You've heard that name before. A lot of us have. Who is he? Who's he affiliated with?
Well, Zarqawi is apparently an independently operating terrorist, operating on the same parallel lines as al-Qaeda, but apparently operating himself. Jordanian-born, apparently lost a leg, fighting in Afghanistan, and he represents one of that veterans of Afghanistan who now are taking up against America, which helped them against the communist government in Afghanistan. What's need to be said is that this guy has to be considered on his known and on his own, and rather than considered as part of a centralized terrorist plot. What apparently we're beginning to learn is that there was too much emphasis being put on a central plot on behalf of the terrorists. There are apparently lots of fundamentalist terrorists that are managing to make their way around the world.
Okay, I may have misspoke, by the way. Mr. Berg was apparently, to the best knowledge right now, killed last week, and the images were
last week.
Were on the website. We're on the website this week. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz told Congress on Thursday.
Can I just mention before we leave that subject, for one who is kind of an idiot when it comes to the cyberspace age, it is remarkable that the pictures of Berg apparently after he had been beheaded were transmitted by a terrorist website to internets all over the world. I mean, we've come to a point where the terrorists are the most sophisticated kind of technology.
Deputy Defense Secretary Wolfowitz told Congress on Thursday the war in Iraq is going to cost another $75 billion. The White House had initially requested total control over the first $25 billion, but backed off when some members of the Senate Armed Services Committee said that Congress ought to have more oversight on how to spend it. Is the administration going to have a battle for getting this money?
Well, I think they're going to have a little trouble, more trouble than they've had in the past, because even some Republicans are now saying what you want us to do is to write a blank check, and we don't write blank checks around here. The Constitution says that money shall be in accordance with appropriations. So they're going to have a little bit more trouble. It is hard to believe they will not get the money in the end, having maybe to give some more particulars and explain what they did with $160 billion we gave you last time.
CBS poll released this week shows President Bush's approval rating at 44%, the lowest of his presidency. How much of that sentiment is due to the situation in Iraq?
Well, since the economy is improving, and since Iraq is not improving, you have to assume that a lot of this going down to 46%, the lowest that he's been in his presidency, has to signify something about the way people now pursue the commander-in-chief in charge of the war. The interesting thing is that while, if I can put it this way, that while Bush goes up, while Bush goes down, Kerry doesn't seem to go up. It is as though this is a referendum being conducted on the president, regardless of who it is who may be running against him. And from that point of view, it looks very strange. Now, at some point, Kerry may begin to cash in on this. I don't know. But the moment we're seeing now is a loss of confidence in the president and not necessarily a great deal of confidence in his opponent.
I don't know if I can put this in the form of a question, but I've been waiting to say this for several days as we close this week. An Italian immigrant is set to become the leader of the world's largest democracy. Dan, only in India.
Only in India and in Israel and in Milwaukee, where a lady from Milwaukee became the prime minister of Israel. I just want to show you how well informed I am here.
All right. Thank you, Dan Shore. Sure.